Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Picture this, a seamless shopping experience where the lines between online and offline retail blur into oblivion, where customers can effortlessly browse, buy, and receive products through various channels, all while enjoying consistent service and support. That is the power of unified commerce. It's a game changer that unites every touch point in a retailer's ecosystem that not only empowers businesses to operate more efficiently, but also provides customers with the convenience and flexibility they crave. To further explore the trends and innovations shaping the unified commerce landscape, I'm joined by Max Kirby, who leads comms and strategy at Stripe, Dil Hussain, co-founder and CEO of Dynes, and Dan Key, senior analyst of merchant services at Javelin Strategy and Research. Thank you all for joining us today. Max, at the most basic, what is unified commerce? What's Stripe's definition of it?
Unified commerce is about meeting the customer where they are. So that means on any surface, across any channel, any stage in the buyer journey. But I think people also miss that it's about bringing front office and back office together. So it's, you know, unifying commerce is unifying both the customer's commerce experience and the merchant's commerce infrastructure. So too often people talk about unified commerce as a fancy way of saying kind of both in-store and online. It's much more than that. So if you think about different channels, merchants today want to sell direct to customer, but also through retail partners, maybe via an online marketplace. They may want to set up a loyalty scheme. They may want to offer membership subscriptions. And no matter the interface, they want to have a really coherent experience with the customer. So that's how we think about unified commerce.
Dil, do you have any thoughts on that as well?
Definitely. I mean, it's the point that Max made around the online to offline differentiation. It's quite easy to think that you think of unified commerce as bringing anytime the customer engages or purchases something in person, that's one channel. And anytime they purchase it remotely or through a screen, that's the digital channel. But there are many circumstances where an in-person experience can still be digital. It can still be behind a screen. It could be in a kiosk. It could be using your phone to order at a table. And so unified commerce is about bringing all the data, all the information, all the kind of personalization that a customer may have remotely or on site in a retail or a restaurant environment and bringing them together. So any preferences that I may have when looking at a menu or booking a table and suggesting that I'd like a table for four, being able to engage with those same data points when I'm at the site, when I'm in the restaurant, regardless of the fact that I may be ordering with a waiter face-to-face or I might be using my own smartphone and engaging that way. So it's about bringing those data points together as opposed to just that harsh differentiation between are you doing this offline with a person or are you doing this online with some kind of digital interaction.
And I just want to hit home the difference between unified commerce and omnichannel. Omnichannel has been a big buzzword for years now, and I think it often gets kind of lumped in with unified commerce, where omnichannel allows you to, you know, buy something online or in-store, as we've been talking about. Unified commerce, as Max said, just allows you to do much more. It connects data, it connects experiences, it connects back-end processes. These things that are really important and really do transform the experience much more than just the ability to be in-store and order a product shipped to your home, which is still, you know, an important part of creating a positive commerce experience. But unified commerce goes much, much deeper and I think has a lot more of an influence on the experience for a customer than just omnichannel does.
And on that note, and Max, perhaps you can start us off, you know, why is having a unified commerce strategy so important? What are the impacts that it has on the customer experience?
Well, we've all been there. We've all encountered those frustrating moments where we're like kind of Homer Simpson and we go, dope. So, you know, you buy something online and the retailer says, well, you can't return it in store. I mean, that makes no sense to the customer. Or when they say, I'm sorry, we don't accept Amex or we don't accept a, you know, another payment method. Or when you are a regular customer somewhere, but you have to type in your full address and full card number every time. In the case of, hopefully Dil can tell us more about the restaurant case in a moment. But, you know, I would be really frustrated if I was a regular ordering takeout from a restaurant. And then when I go into the restaurant in person and dine in the restaurant, they don't recognize me as a loyal customer and I don't get, you know, any of the benefits or loyalty points or whatever that might accrue to me. So I think we start from the premise that customers will choose experiences that are convenient, secure, and intuitive. And so it follows that if you don't have a unified commerce experience that it delights the customer, then they're going to go elsewhere.
And I couldn't agree more. I mean, if you're thinking about what's so powerful about unified commerce, it's a really quick win, in my opinion. If you're thinking about all the different ways that you can try and make the customer's experience from start to finish better in any channel, in any business, in any industry vertical, creating something that's unified, creating something that feels like the customer is being remembered, regardless of how they engage with the business, that is just a very surefire, quick way to just, like Max said, to delight them. And it's actually not that hard, if you think about it, with the rails and the platforms available to you now. It's very easy to do. And if we take, let's take restaurants for a super quick example, and no shock that I'd like to talk about restaurants today. But if we imagine you're ordering your takeaway that you always go to the favorite spot, like Max said, and you have certain dietary preferences, and you have a fantastic web or digital-based kind of interaction, do a native app or a website, and you're able to filter out kind of cuisine tags that you need to focus on. So something that's got gluten, I'm intolerant to it, so just hide that from my screen. And that's great. And I love the fact that I can go in and filter that away and just engage with the items that I want to order. But then I go into the site, which is supposed to be the better experience. It's supposed to be, you know, you're paying that extra service charge, you're paying for that extra opportunity to speak to the staff members there. And when you're there, you're still having to remind every single waiter one by one that, excuse me, I'm gluten intolerant. Is this fine for me to have? Or somebody else comes to take your dessert order, and that's a different waiter from the person that served you earlier. And then you ask her, like, sorry, can I just see the gluten intolerant dessert menu? Like, why put your customers through that experience when you could just follow that data point and give them that better experience? So if anything, it's not just about how having a unified commerce strategy is important and quick wins, but sometimes you could ask yourself, what's the cost of not doing it, especially in this day and age, right? In a time when people can personalize so many things, so much more than just like your home or your decor. You can personalize your shopping experience, you can personalize your technology. So I don't see why we can't follow that through. And not doing that, you may stand a very high opportunity of upsetting some customers. So if anything, you should be doing it. Not that you'd be nice to do. I think it's a should be done.
Yeah, I want to touch on the cost you mentioned a little bit, because I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's generally accepted that it's important to accept all kinds of payments a consumer might want to make, whether it's credit, debit, cash, whatever it may be, because otherwise consumers may abandon the transaction entirely. And I think that as, you know, unified commerce experiences become more common, and consumers can expect to make a return in a certain way, get loyalty, have, you know, more personalized experience, when they don't have it, it's going to be maybe just as frustrating as someone not accepting, you know, an Amex card, as Max mentioned earlier. I think these things are becoming closer to table stakes even. And that means if you don't have them, you're losing sales as much as you might be gaining sales by having these experiences. So it really does need to be a priority to, you know, build this sort of experience with unified commerce.
You've all spoken about the opportunities of unified commerce. What are some of the challenges with connecting the online and in-person experience? Max, I'll start with you.
Sure. I think it's about your mindset as a business. How do you think about a purchase? Is it just a transaction and it's unconnected to any other transactions and to anything else? Or is it just a touch point in what is hopefully a long and fruitful relationship with your customer? Is your business a machine to monetize your product, or is it a machine to cultivate and ultimately monetize relationships with customers? Are you thinking like a seller, or are you thinking like a buyer? And I think unified commerce ultimately means adopting the customer's perspective. And I think that mindset shift is arguably the biggest challenge for some businesses. But in order to do that, operationally, a lot of it, as Dill mentioned earlier, it comes down to data. And that's where the merchant angle comes in, because it's the data that underpins a truly composable architecture so that your business applications work seamlessly together. So a prerequisite for unified commerce is having a unified view of the customer. Can you recognize an existing customer when they walk into a store? If you've visited a store, do you recognize them online? Is your inventory database unified? So if someone buys something in store, does that mean you're now sold out for an online customer? And payments is just a subset of that. Payments is really just data. That's the sort of founding premise, if you like, of Stripe. And a lot of merchants we speak to are starting from a point where they have an in-store system with point-of-sale terminals that's totally siloed from their online system. They're literally running two different businesses. And Stripe unifies those into one business. So you can think about how much overhead that removes, how much faster they're able to run, and how much operating leverage they're able to realize. Instead of running two businesses, they're now just running one bigger business.
And Dill, how about you? What are some challenges that you're seeing as well?
I mean, I should start this answer by saying thanks to Max and Stripe for doing exactly what he just said and building a way to have a unified stack for both of your online payments and your in-person payments. We're very avid, happy, and proud Stripe Terminal users here. Just being able to offer our customers, when we started off with a completely segmented and a completely disconnected payment terminal for customers to pay in person versus when they're engaging with the restaurants online. That, it sounds silly, but that leads to so many operational burdens for just running your business. From simple things like a customer calling over the phone and saying, "Hi, I'd like a refund," or "I had a problem with my transaction," or "Could you help me find my receipt? This is how much I paid, and this is the last four digits of my card." Now, as a customer service representative or a member of the restaurant, you have to now look at two different systems to try and figure out where that payment happened. And, you know, can you identify that customer and can you get them the answer that they're looking for? But not having to worry about that with a single stack is huge. And that brings me quite nicely to, I guess, the what, the why, the how, if you think about the challenges. Yes, it's going to need some time to get it to market, for sure, right? If you are planning to change any system that you have or a multitude of systems that you have, it will take some time to consolidate them. And you may need some engineering resource if you're not going external, if you aren't looking to build, pick up a plug and play solution or something off the shelf. And then training and understanding the processes they have in place at the moment need adjusting. Those sorts of things are challenges, for sure. But the beautiful thing about unified commerce in today, in 2023, is these are thoughts that are happening regardless of unified commerce. Businesses across the world are now looking to consolidate their solutions. They're looking to make things easier. They're looking to be able to utilize their products with fewer staff, with fewer burdens, with fewer steps to get the job done. So tacking on, as part of that experience, a unified commerce lens when changing your software stack is huge. And it means that when you're thinking about our sector in particular, where the customer's experience is so visceral, it's face to face, you're there with the customer if they're having a great or bad experience, and you're there feeling their emotions if things are going wrong, and you're there also enjoying the feedback when things are going well. So having one place to go to manage all of that information, to respond to issues, is huge. So I think there is a concern, and we did have that concern for sure as a business at least a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, when we were thinking about, can we start unifying these bits and bobs? And thanks to certain solutions out there now, certain rails, certain tech stacks that you can plug in quite quickly with very little tech resource in the grand scheme of things, I think those challenges have been mitigated, which is probably why we're seeing so much more adoption of unified commerce now versus, 10, 15 years ago. These aren't problems that have suddenly become real. Like, we've always wanted this. I think everybody's always wanted this. It's just now it's easier than ever before to engage with it. And I think it'd be silly not to,
We're coming to an end, but Dil, I think it would be really helpful and beneficial for the audience to really hear about your experience as a Stripe user. How has Stripe helped and improved your customer experience? How have you implemented unified commerce?
Definitely. Happy to talk through that. I mean, how has Stripe helped? We don't have enough time to answer because there's loads of answers to that. But how has it improved our customer experience? It really just does come down to that feeling from a customer's perspective that when they share something, when I share that with you, I'm hoping you treat it with that same level of importance and that same level of respect. And through a unified approach, restaurants are able to really, really engage with that. Simple things, it sounds silly, but simple things like dietary preference. On the outside, and as a customer, sure, you'll put the extra effort in to quickly check the allergen chart, and you're used to doing that if you have a particular allergen. But from a restaurant's perspective, a lot of the restaurant managers we speak to, they can sometimes lose sleep at night over this. Like, getting allergens wrong is huge. It's so detrimental to business. So if you've built a system where I'm able to book a table, make a note to say that I have a severe nut allergy, and then when the customer's at the restaurant, this isn't just a note on the booking, which is in a comment field somewhere low down if you're going to click more details on your booking platform, but it's there, it's at the forefront of the point of sale. It pops up and it alerts the staff member when they're about to go to that table and add a particular dessert that has sprinkles of peanuts on top of it. Like, this is powerful stuff, and this is how you can increase that experience for the customer's perspective, so that when the staff member's there about to add something to the cart, they can say, "Just to let you know, so this is probably not suitable for you because it has nuts, but we can suggest something else." And it sounds so simple, but can you imagine just being the customer there, just knowing that feeling of actually being listened to and having someone paying attention to something that's maybe so minor in the grand scheme of things for the items they have and the variety of inventory items, but for you is so important. So I think it's that part of the journey that we've really kind of really leaned on. And where Stripe comes in from payments. Payments is, of course, one of the biggest parts of our engagement with Stripe, from terminal and online payments. But being able to follow a user's journey from payments in store, payments in a restaurant, sorry, to payments online and their preferences and the source of items they purchase, and having that metadata linked to that payment fingerprint, that's huge. That's really, really useful. Being able to build loyalty on top of that is also super powerful, because you can remove elements of friction when you're trying to sign up to a loyalty program, but it's all linked to payments. That's also something that we're really excited about. But I think more importantly for us, it's just Stripe's approach with providing the infrastructure for you to then do what you need with them. That is what's key here, because some of the needs of a hospitality business are very, very different to the needs of a retail business. And knowing that you're building your entire tech stack on a platform that can adjust and adapt and give you the tools that you need to then serve your customers is important. So I think if anybody out there is listening and wondering, if they're wondering, should they do unified commerce? Stop wondering, do it, and don't think twice about that. If they're wondering about what platforms to use and what sort of payment acquirers or gateways or PSPs that you should be thinking about, definitely think about the big names out there who are offering multiple ways for your customers to engage instead of just one, so that it automatically makes that burden that Dan was talking about, that technical burden of building into unified commerce, easier, because you've already got one place to go to. But then, don't stop there. Think about where you want to take it further. What other things can you do with the tech stack? What other things can you do with the knowledge of where the payments are coming from and where they're going? And that's where we've had really amazing conversations and great brainstorming sessions with Stripe engineers about how we can improve the overall hospitality experience using the technology. So yeah, like I said, we haven't got enough time for me to sit there and tell you all the great things that Stripe can do and will do for businesses. But for us in particular, we've had a lot of fantastic feedback, especially since we switched to terminal. And by not having a separate payment system, another SaaS fee to pay every month, another bill and an invoice to check through and figure out what's happening, another place to go for a refund, by unifying that into one place has immediately made many, many of our customers' lives easier. Now it's just about making it even better than that.
Max, Dylan, Dan, thank you again for shedding light on unified commerce and the unparalleled value it provides on businesses. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. We'll see you soon.